So I'm Pastor Lloyd Longos, and I'm serving as one of the staff in International Baptist Church. So I would like to share some of my ministry in the past as well. So I'll be sharing my screen. Yeah, so these are, you know, this is my family. So my wife is Julie, and my daughter is Lois. She's 7 years old now. And then Josiah is 5 years old now, and then my youngest is Joshua. So all of them were born here in Singapore. So my challenge is they're like more Singaporean now. They don't know how to speak Tagalog. They're speaking in Chinese and English, but praise God, because God is using us in Singapore, and I believe that BTS has a big part of my, you know, development and my improvement here in Singapore. So I would like to share some of my previous ministry. I was involved in a church planting ministry in the Philippines for 5 years before I decided to go to Singapore. So I came to Singapore in 2011, and I started my program in BTS and finished my MDiv in 2013. So this is the church for where I pastored for 5 years. So it's a community church. So it's one of the, like, relocation in the Philippines, populated, and relocation of, you know, those who are involved in drug addictions and gangs, but praise God, because I can see that on how people, you know, transformed by the gospel of Christ. So this morning I will not be reading our passage, because we have our scripture reading already. So the title of our message is the chain breaker, which I got from Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. So during this pandemic, you know, that it's very, you know, heartbreaking to hear a lot of news about deaths. And for me personally, with so many deaths happening in the Philippines, you know, some of them are my friends. You know, I have 12 pastor friends, and some of them, even their wives died this year. And you know, one of our members in IBC, you know, three of her loved ones died this year. You know, her sister died May, and then June, the brother died as well. And then just last month, you know, her mom died. And this lady can't go back, because, you know, she's the only one providing for the family, and it's very challenging right now. So so she decided to stay here, and she's not the only one, you know, there's a lot of issues now. And for me personally, as I minister to the Filipinos as well, it's very difficult, and I feel that I'm also, you know, receiving all the stress, but praise God, because he's the one who is giving us strength. And this is our opportunity to, you know, to minister and to share the gospel to their loved ones as well. So I just want to share some of the things happened last year. And I believe that God is in control. And some of you knows that my wife had stroke, you know, last year. And that was February 2020. So I rushed her to Nang Teng Fong Hospital, you know, in the emergency area. And because COVID was starting that time, I was not allowed to go with my wife. You know, we came there 8 a.m. and I was waiting in the, you know, in the parking area from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. You know, I can count if how many times I just walk around Nang Teng Fong. You know, I was lost. I'm alone, I was crying, and the only thing that I can do is to pray, you know? And I don't really understand what's happening, but, you know, but God reminded me, you know, of Job chapter 23, verse 10. When God said, and he knows the way that I take, when he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. So that's the only thing that I can, you know, keep repeating over and over again. And he knows the way that I take, and he knows the way that I take, you know, and during the time I'm actually comforted, and I really thank God, because if you will look at my wife now, it's like, you know, it's like she's fully recovered, but praise God for, you know, for all the medications and for all the prayers that that IBC and even BTS gave to us. So this morning, I'm actually thinking of the life of Paul and Silas, on how they were locked down, you know, in Acts chapter 16, verses 25 to 34. And being locked down is not easy. And in their situation, it's even painful, because before they were locked down, they were persecuted, you know. And in our text this morning, the first one is God moves in unexpected way. Okay. So verse 24, it says, when they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guide them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. So if we will look at, you know, the background of the jailer during this time, so during the New Testament, jailers are commonly retired army veterans, you know. So they are expected to follow orders and use their military skills as required. So they also treat all prisoners as dangerous criminals. And this jailer is serious about his job. So he took Paul and Silas in the inner prison, which is the most poorly ventilated part. And they're actually using the room also for torture. So we can say that during this time, Paul and Silas, as they were locked down, they were in a very bad situation. But in verse 25, it says, now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So the first one, we can see that God shakes the prison cell, okay? Because in verse 26, it mentioned about that there were earthquake, okay? But the first one, we can say that God shakes the prison at the prison cell, okay? So they were not crushed by what happened, Paul and Silas, but they started a mini worship service in the midst of, you know, circumstances and a very difficult situation. So they exchanged the painful experience to a worship experience. And because of their response, it became a great testimony to the other prisoners, as well. Because it says that the prisoners were also listening to them. So God shakes the prison. And the second one, God also shakes the person. Okay? God shakes the person. So in verse 27, it says, when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors opened, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Okay? So God's divine shaking didn't only shook the prison, but also the jailer. He was awakened by the earthquake and saw that the doors are wide open, and thought that the prisoners had already escaped or gone. And this response, what's the response of the jailer? In the Roman law, in an event where a prisoner escaped, the jailer or the guard or whoever is responsible for the same punishment that's for the escaped prisoner. So that's why jailer rather die in his own hand than face the shame, disappointment, and punishment in his negligence as jailer. So, but what happens next in the jailer's life because of the point that he was about to take his life, God intervened through Paul and Silas. And in verse 28, it says, I'm sorry, verse 28 is not here, but I'll read verse 28. It says, "But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, 'Do not harm yourself, for we are all, for we alone are here.'" Okay. So Paul stopped him from harming himself. And when I read this, I was reminded, you know, on how Paul was transformed by the gospel of Christ. Because looking backward in Acts chapter 9, who's Paul? Okay. Paul's main goal is to persecute Christians, you know, and put people in prison. But during this time in Acts chapter 16, it's a drastic change in the life of Paul. He's sharing the gospel, you know, he was saving life, and he was willing to open the door of salvation to the jailer who had shut the door of the prison on him. So he was willing to help this person who had chained him into the stocks. Okay? And you know what God is telling us through the life of Paul? You wouldn't be able to offer transforming power of the gospel to offer if in your life you haven't experienced it. So meaning to say, if we truly experience the gospel of Christ, okay, it will show us on how we conduct as well. Okay. And so because Paul and Silas is in the inner cell, you know, it's very dark, and the jailer quickly asked his subordinates to grab some torches. And if in the beginning this jailer was the commander and the boss of the whole prison, now he found himself physically shaking by the earthquake. Now we're experiencing this sense of urgency, fear, and respect, Paul and Silas. So that's why in verse 29 to 31 it says, "And he called for lies in rush and trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas." Verse 30, you know. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Okay, what must I do to be saved? So his life is already spared. You know, when Paul and Silas were still here, "Don't kill yourself," you know, his life is already spared. He is already saved from the consequences of his negligence. And all the prisoners are still inside their cell and no one escaped. So he is not in trouble anymore. Okay. He experienced God's physical shaking, but I believe that during this time, it's not about only physical shaking, but the spiritual one. You know, he witnessed on how God moved on the life of Paul and Silas, on how Paul and Silas conduct during this difficult time. They were praying, they were singing hymns, they were worshiping God, even in the midst of difficult times. In the same for us today, so sometimes we are shaken up by various crises in our life. And before we realize our greatest need. So sometimes we are experiencing and struggling with our health, you know, death of loved ones. For us as people who came from the Philippines, we miss our family in our country, you know. Sometimes we cry because we miss them so much. And then if they are sick, we can't do anything because we cannot go back. And also, I'm telling my parents, take care of yourself. Because we don't know when can we go back again. Maybe 5 years. Because even though Singapore is okay, but in Philippines, it's still, you know, in bad shape, we cannot go back there. Okay, but in this time of, you know, difficult situation, always remember that, you know, God is there. God will never leave us, and He will never forsake us. And then in our second point, so in verse 31, Paul and Silas told the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." So Paul and Silas, as we can see, they mentioned even you and your household. Verse 34, and he brought them into his house, the jailer, and set food before them and was overjoyed. Since he had become a believer in God, together with his full family. So the first one, we can see that God transforms a person, which all of us, you know, experience. I believe that we experience it. Okay? You know, just this year, God convicts me to, you know, just to reach out to my high school friends in the Philippines. I called them one by one. So I reached out around maybe 18 of them, just called them, shared the gospel to them. And then, so some of them, they said, Lloyd, we know you. We know how you conduct yourself. And we don't really understand why you became a pastor. So I was sharing the gospel to them. I was sharing about Jesus Christ. So after that conversation, it didn't end there. So my wife and I, we contact one church in our community where we ask them to, you know, buy something like a sack of rice and invite all my high school friends. They went to that church and they heard the gospel. So I asked my pastor friend just to share the gospel, you know, it's good just because my pastor friend said that many of them received Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Okay? So I believe that only the power of the gospel can transform us. Okay? If God transform us, we believe that even some people, God can transform them as well. Okay. So not only the gospel transforms a person, but the gospel transforms a family as well. Okay. So the jailer didn't stop there. It mentioned that he brought them into his house and set food before them and was overjoyed since he had become a believer and God together with his whole household. So he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God in his whole household. So the jailer brought something really special at home. So it's not about food or anything, but the jailer brought what? The gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay. And because of that, the whole household rejoiced greatly, and the jailer brought a blessing far greater than any material things, it permanently abiding in the house. Okay. You know, when it comes to transformation and sharing the gospel, I really admire my mom, because my mom is the first Christian in our family. We started attending a Baptist church when I was seven years old, and I have six more siblings. You know, and during that time, you know, my dad is an alcoholic. He don't want to visit any church. You know, if you will imagine a mom, you know, holding all her, you know, six children going to church every Sunday, and we need to walk like 45 minutes before we can reach the church. Okay? And my mom brought us every weekend, every Sunday. And, you know, after 10 years of praying, my dad became a Christian. And I asked my dad, what led you, you know, what convict you to, you know, to make a decision to follow Christ? My dad said, you know, every night I witness your mom, you know, kneeling in the middle of the night. She's just praying, you know, Lord, please save my husband. You know, after 10 years, that was 1998, my dad became a Christian. And now he became a missionary. And both of them is serving as a full-time missionary in one of the provinces in our community. So I believe that Dr. Gary met my parents, and he prayed for my parents. And I really, you know, I'm so blessed that that the Lord used my mom for the salvation of our whole family as well. So I believe that the Philippian jailer, even though, you know, in a very difficult situation, it turns out that God used that for the salvation of his family as well. You know, just four things that I want us to remember. The first one, remember that no matter where you are, and no matter how bad things might seem, God is sovereign, and He is quite capable of accomplishing His purpose in your situation. Okay. Number two, the secret to unlocking the power of God into your current circumstances is worship. Okay. Sometimes, if we cannot, you know, control the situation anymore, the best thing to do is worship, because it realigns us, you know, on the right direction. Let's give God the glory in the midst of circumstances. Not only worship, but third, we never know who might be listening. We never know who might be listening. Remember Paul and Silas when they were in prison? They were, you know, they were praising, they were singing hymns to God. And the Bible says, you know, the prisoners were listening. Okay. So meaning to say, maybe our families are not Christians, but remember, they were listening. They were looking at us. Okay. Our neighbors, okay, they were listening. Our friends, our colleagues, they were watching us. And they're looking at us on how we conduct in the midst of difficult times. You know, we're staying here in Clemente area for 2 years now, okay? But when we move here in our flat, you know, our flat is, our neighbor is just, you know, their door is in front of us. And for how many months, every time I smile at this person, you know, this person is just, you know, it's like nothing. It's plain. But last Christmas, I decided to bought a big bun with a curry. It's a big bun. And I asked my kids, come, let's just knock the door and let's, you know, just give this big bun to our neighbor, you know. You know, my wife, they're just knocking the door, they're smiling. And when the couple opened their door, and then my kid says, Merry Christmas. And, you know, I talked to our neighbor and I told them we're so happy that, you know, that we're staying here in Clemente. And we just want to say that God bless you, and we're happy that you're a neighbor. You know? And after 2 days, that big bun, you know, they gave us a big tray of carbonara, you know, which I think I finished for 1 week because all my kids are small, you know. But it's a challenge for us as well, you know. We never know who might be listening. Maybe our family, they're watching us. Our neighbors are watching us. And maybe this is a right time for them to see who really Christ is. That we were transformed and we are showing it. We are sharing the love of Christ to them as well. And then lastly, when love penetrates your homes, when love resides your home, God will transform not only you, but also the people inside at home. We are the salt and light of our house, of our home. Bring God's love to your home. Because when you bring love to your home, there will be repentance. There will be forgiveness. There will be grace. There will be compassion and kindness. So we need to show the love of Christ, not only to our neighbors, not only to, you know, to the people around us, but also to our family as well. Okay. You know, 2019, my daughter talked to me and then she said, Daddy, it's like you have no time for us anymore, you know, because like I'm always outside and doing the ministry, but when I came home, I'm still doing my work. And then my daughter said that, you know, it's like you have no time for me anymore. Okay. So 2019, I decided to start our family worship. And now it's like 3 times a week. We just read our Bible together. We have a short devotion. We have a worship together. And then every night they're looking forward that every one of them, they need to pray. Okay. And I believe that as a spiritual leader in my family, I have this responsibility and opportunity to disciple my own kids and my wife as well. So for my prayer request, so thank you so much for inviting me, and I'm so glad that I'm part of BTS, and I have a lot of memories in BTS. So thank you so much for our communities, our teachers, and especially my mentor, Dr. Gary. So we've been together for 2 years in BTS. So Winlat is here. I'm so glad to see Winlat. And so one thing I love about mentoring, because I don't have mentor when I was in the Philippines. And this is the first time when I have my mentor in Singapore. So I love about mentoring is, you know, we share meals together, we share stories, and, you know, we encourage one another, and sometimes we rebuke, you know, we rebuke one another, and so we share our lives together. And in my 2 years in BTS, you know, our mentoring group, we visited 3 countries, you know, we went to Indonesia, you know, just spent time together there, we went to Malaysia, and we ministered to pastors in the Philippines as well. We went there just to minister and, you know, bless pastors in the Philippines. And for me personally, I'm so blessed that I'm part of BTS. And it's a big transition for me because I need to adjust, you know, coming from a country where you only speak Tagalog. Because in the Philippines, in my hometown, we only use Tagalog. You know, when we preach, it's Tagalog English, but normally we use Tagalog. So for me, going to Singapore, I'm so scared because I don't know what will happen to me in Singapore. And our BTS community, it helps me a lot to adjust. And it helps me on my ministry right now, because my ministry right now is not only for Filipinos, but in IBC as a whole. And I can say that BTS helped me to adjust, and you know, for my transition, for my ministry, and thank God that God used everyone, all of you, as part of my journey here in Singapore. So thank you so much. Let's pray together. Pray, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us this wonderful time, and thank you for our devotional, God, for reminding us about the life of Paul and Silas and the jailer, on how Paul and Silas were knocked down. But thank you so much, because it is according to your plan that they will meet the jailer. They've been a good testimony. They're worshiping you. They're praising you. And because of that, the jailer became a believer, and even his household as well. Lord, thank you for always encouraging us of your word. May you help us to conduct ourselves as a believer, as a transformed person. And we are praying, oh Lord, for those people around us. May you use us to minister to them, and especially for our family as well. Those who are not yet Christians, we are praying that you may help us to be a blessing, to be a channel of blessing to them, to share the gospel to them, oh God. Lord, thank you for BTS, with all the adjustment, oh God, with all the things and the changes, we are praying for wisdom. We are praying, oh God, that you may help our teachers, our students, and may you always give us the joy in serving you, Lord. Thank you for this wonderful time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.